Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters.
For this week's Health Matters, we're sitting down with Dr. Thaddeus Olzin. Dr. Olzin is a professor and chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine. He is a practicing psychiatrist with special interest in child and adolescent psychiatry, and he has more than 30 years of experience. Today, we'll be discussing ADHD and driving. Thank you, Dr. Olzin, for being with us.
Thank you very much.
First question, what is ADHD?
ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. ADHD is a condition in which the individual has a great deal of difficulty inhibiting themselves, that is, stopping themselves from doing things. It's almost like driving without brakes. It's probably the best way I can describe it. And this disorder is largely genetic. It is actually one of the most genetic disorders known to man. It is more genetic than type 1 diabetes, more genetic than a lot of conditions that in our minds we consider to be genetically influenced. So it's quite a common condition. It occurs probably worldwide in about 7% of the population, which means every school teacher would have had at least one or two children in their class who has this condition. And essentially the core aspects of it are inattention, a high level of distractibility, and impulsivity. The fourth one really is also emotional regulation. And we'll come to that when we speak about driving. So it's a condition in which the person is busy when they're not supposed to be busy, when they're supposed to be focused on sort of mundane tasks like reading a passage or something, they're very easily distracted by more stimulating elements in the environment. And what underlies this biologically is a dysregulation of the dopamine and norepinephrine system in the frontal lobes of the brain. And this is very verifiable by PET scans, you know, by modern imaging. You can see that the ADHD brain is very different from the brain of someone who doesn't have ADHD.
Are there different levels of ADHD?
Well, like any condition, some people have maybe a milder version, and some people may have a more severe version, depending on the contributing factors. Because in addition to genetics, there could be things like prematurity, exposure to toxins, other things can make ADHD, you know, worse.
So if you feel like you have some symptoms, how do you get diagnosed for ADHD?
Okay. Well, I mean, what we do, the thing about ADHD is that it can be confused with other conditions, but that's the nature of medicine. That's why we have something we call differential diagnosis, because there are many other things, other conditions that can lead to someone being restless, someone being hyper. But the thing about ADHD is that it is pervasive. That is, that person is in that state all the time. The child is like that at home. They're like that at school. They're like that when they go to the grandparents. They're like that when they go to church and the parents have to hold their hand and keep them seated. You know, you get the picture. You see them in the mall sometimes, the parents really grabbing onto this child because they know the moment they let go of the child, he's gone. And it's usually a boy. It's more common in boys than girls.
Really? Interesting. So ADHD can occur in all ages.
Well, it manifests itself in childhood. So usually roughly around the age of 5 to 7 is where parents and others begin to say, hey, he doesn't sit still, or he's always on the go, his motor is always running, you know, those kinds of things. But in the, you know, for many years, people thought, okay, this is a childhood disorder. When people grow up, it's gone. But we now know that this is, as I described its origins, if nothing changes, this is going to be with the person throughout their lives. It's just that as people grow up, it also changes in the way it presents. So where a child would be very busy and hyper, an adult may feel that hyperactivity internally. That is, they feel that they're not rested even when they're at rest. And then the impulsivity may come in ways like finishing other people's sentences, interrupting people, just not being patient enough, you know, not being able to stay in a line, trying to jump ahead, those kinds of things.
How do you treat ADHD?
Well, essentially, the core element of treatment is medication, which corrects the dopamine dysregulation. So we use medications largely known as psychostimulants. Ritalin is the oldest one known to man, but there are other versions, methylphenidate and dextroamphetamines. These are the two core medications we use. There are also non-stimulant medications, which are not as effective as the stimulants, but there are indications medically for choosing those in particular situations.
Now let's move into ADHD and driving. Why is that such an issue? And what do we need to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting in for many levels, even for me, because I see children. And for many years, you know, we talked about what the child needed at the time, you know, to succeed in school, those kinds of things. You know, it became clear over time that these same problems that children have, well, most people start driving when they're adolescents, so they're still not quite adults. So they're not attentive, they're easily distracted, and now because we have devices that distract us even more, so if they're at a stop sign, they're more likely to pick up their phone or do something or be distracted by noise around them. So the distractibility is high, and the impulsivity, which I talked about. So these are also people who generally don't slow down at the yellow light, but speed up because, you know, they're impulsive. They see the yellow light and for them it's go, you know. So there are many aspects of ADHD that make driving more difficult for them, because at the center of all of these things I'm describing is organization. Because of all of this, people with ADHD tend not to be very organized. And driving is a task of organizing a number of activities continuously as you're moving from one place to the other in your vehicle. So they by nature, have a harder time with this. So, for example, they're more likely to have to do the driving test a number of times because they'll fail it, because during the test they might get distracted, have a problem. So in their history, it'll be like, oh, it took me so many years to get my permit, my license. They're also, let me just back up a bit. So the degree of impairment that they have is sometimes equal to somebody who is intoxicated. Yeah. And there are many simulation studies that have shown that ADHD impairment is actually quite high. So it's been a disorder that we haven't really paid attention to in that realm. They're, you know, about maybe 35% more likely to have an accident than somebody who doesn't have the disorder. They're more likely to get tickets, you know, violations, because they park and they forget to come put money back in the meter or whatever it is that they're supposed to do. And they're also more likely to be engaged in elements of road rage because of the impulsivity. They tend to have situations where they have an issue with another driver. And as I said at the beginning, one of the core issue in ADHD is difficulty in inhibiting oneself. So when they get into a situation that is emotionally charged, they're more likely to be more charged and get angry and not able to contain themselves. So it's a condition that in many other jurisdictions now, in the UK and in some parts of Canada, people are required to disclose if they have ADHD when they're going to get their driver's license. And essentially, the core issue is that you should be taking your medication while you're driving. And this is this makes it safe for the person and also safe for everyone else.
Very interesting. I don't think I would have immediately equated all of that with ADHD, because there's a lot of things in life that we have to deal with. Obviously, ADHD is a little different, but the medication part is very important.
It's very important.
Is there anything else in addition to what we've talked about today that you want to add about ADHD?
Yeah, I mean, the medication is very important, but I think in addition to medication, sort of different strategies for helping people manage their environment and their attention and organize themselves. So we have a number of interventions, behavioral interventions, cognitive interventions that are helpful. But in my experience, all those interventions require the ability to listen and focus and follow instructions. So if you're doing that without medication, it's really not going to work. If a person's on the medication and their ability to focus is improved, then the other interventions complement the medication and they do much better.
Thank you so much for sharing this with us today, Dr. Olsen.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.